It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and we are back for this DFS game-by-game breakdown for Week 16. Adam, what's up, man?
Feeling good. Like we mentioned on the Saturday slate breakdown podcast, Christmas time.
Happy holidays to everyone out there. Thank you for all the support all through 2020 for Fade the Chalk. Adam and I have loved every minute of doing this podcast, bringing y'all content at every single slate that we possibly can. DFS, Dynasty, season-long content. This year has been fun, man, and there are so many good things on the horizon for 2021. It's going to be fantastic, man. I can't say enough good things about all the love we've gotten from all the listeners. So thank y'all so much for all the support. I don't want to bury this too far, man. We've got a fantastic 10-game slate to talk about. Diving through all of these plays, especially for the early slate for here. Let's kick this off, dude. Chicago is going to play Jacksonville. The total for this game is set at 47. The Bears are favored by 7. What are your thoughts here? I mean, I know you love Allen Robinson, but who's your favorite guy? Is it David Montgomery or is it Allen Robinson if you're starting your lineups for this game, Adam?
It's a good question. For me, it's Allen Robinson, and that's nothing against Dave Montgomery. We'll talk about him. But look, Jacksonville's allowed a 100-yard receiver in 9 of their last 10 games. They didn't allow one last week. Marquise Brown had 98 yards. So that just shows how ridiculously bad they've been at defending opposing receivers. Robinson, like, the floor is so high. He's been priced up for this matchup, but it's a spot where clearly I've been fine paying up for receivers all year long. Like I said, 9 of the last 10 games, 100-yard receiver against Jacksonville, and it was Marquise Brown that broke the streak last week, and he had 98 yards. So essentially you can make the case it's 10 in a row. There's just nobody really in the NFL that can guard him, especially on the Jaguars. I love Robinson here. Now, Montgomery is interesting because he's 7,700, highest price he's been ever, but it's for good reason. I mean, he's the running back one in fantasy over the last 4 weeks. He scored 6 total touchdowns during that span. He is, it was good to see him get back to 32 carries, and I think
career high!
Yeah, man, career high in everything. Yards, carries. And, like, the Houston game, it was weird because he broke the 80-yard touchdown run and then only had 11 carries. I think that had more to do with the fact that the game was so out of reach. And then in a game where Minnesota was, or Chicago was ahead against Minnesota, but not to the point where it was out of reach, really, that's when you saw them just continue to feed Dave Montgomery. Cordarrelle Patterson suffered an injury, too, which is actually notable because they give him, like, 6 carries a game and, oddly, give him, like, 2 goal line carries each week for some reason. But even at the prices they're at, like, I think both have to be in consideration for you, especially, like, Dave Montgomery as well. I mean, he's looked a lot better, and, yeah, he's had some good matchups, but the Minnesota one last week wasn't, like, the greatest matchup, and he just looks good. He looks more decisive, more explosive, and he's still breaking a lot of tackles. Like I said, running back one in fantasy over the last 4 weeks, and during that span, he's averaging 4.1 yards after contact per attempt. That's the 5th best in the NFL. He's looked awesome. He should, especially against Jacksonville. You know, game script should be in his favor to get at least 25 carries. I think you have to consider him, but I do prefer Robinson. It's funny, they're at the same exact price tag. I've just been targeting receiver. I guess I've been targeting both against Jacksonville all year, but if I'm choosing between the two, I'm slightly leaning out Robinson.
Yeah, I don't hate that call at all. I think it's really going to be interesting where their roster percentage is. I think Montgomery's going to be insanely popular for good reason. The matchup is there. His workload's been there. You look at Chicago, weeks 13 through 15, they had the 4th highest red zone rushing rate at 63%, which is a massive change for them because weeks 1 through 12, they were the number one team in red zone passing rate. So is this a blip on the screen? Is this a change in what they want to do offensively, especially with we're talking about David Montgomery getting the massive workload? So I think there are a lot of different ways. I actually like this game a ton. I think that if you want to go passing attack versus Jacksonville, that is perfectly fine. as well, because I think Trubisky's in play here. Allen Robinson is in a fantastic spot, as well as Darnell Mooney. They don't have a corner that could stay with either one of these guys. I mean, Herndon in the slot, Clay Brooks possibly back on the outside. They have a safety playing corner. None of these cornerbacks are any good. 120 or above passer ratings. All of them have allowed this so far this season. As well as we even talked about, Cole Kmet's in play. He's playing a ton of snaps. He ran a route on 67.6% of Trubisky's dropbacks of the last 2 weeks. Jacksonville has allowed the second most touchdowns to opposing tight ends and the fourth most fantasy points per game. So if you wanted to go Trubisky, Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, or Robinson, I think is a core play if you're going in the passing attack here. And then, you know, varying it up, because if Mitch, I don't think Mitch has the true ceiling to where you can stack three pass catchers with him. If you want to go that way, I get it. Like, but he's going to need three touchdowns, which he could get. He firmly can get. I mean, to the last 4 weeks, he's gotten three passing touchdowns. So could he get there? That's true. And especially some of their prices. Do you have any kind of interest in Trubisky?
Moderate, yeah, because I do like Robinson a lot. I think Mooney could have a good game on the right side where Jacksonville's been especially bad. And then, yeah, Cole Kmet, like, he didn't do much last week. But again, it was a game where Montgomery had 32 carries. He doubled Jimmy Graham's pass routes once again. And he's still the same price at 3K. So Trubisky, 5,700. Look, their offense has been really strong the last couple weeks. And they faced Minnesota, Houston, Detroit during that span. But, it's Jacksonville, man. They just provide so much upside for everybody they face. So really, like, I have no problem pairing Robinson with Trubisky, playing Montgomery, and if you're going cheap at tight end, playing Cole Kmet. If this is a different slate, I also wouldn't hate Tyler Eifert on the other side, just because the Bears have been so bad against tight ends. They've allowed a touchdown, I think, in five of their last nine games, or five of their last eight, but it should be like seven of their last eight, because Jordan Akins had that drop 2 weeks ago, and then our man Irv Smith dropped a touchdown against him last week. So, sorry.
It's painful to see, man. I'm not going to fault you. Like, yeah, Irv hurt my heart in that matchup, man. Like, dropping the touchdown, it was tough, man.
So you're on Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, no, I
can't play DJ Chark. I can't. James Robinson's banged up. I love James Robinson. He expects to play. They rested him on Wednesday, but, like, I can't play Jacksonville, man. I'm done.
I get it. I totally get it. And I feel like
I'm so tired of watching Chark get separation and Minshew and Glennon and these guys throw the ball 6 feet over his head. I'm done.
I feel like I should be making the conversation to myself, like, this is like chasing the Jets receivers. Like, what are you doing to yourself?
Yeah,
like,
what the hell are we doing?
Why are you doing? But yeah, I think I'm out. And it pulls me back in. It happens every week, Adam. Like, I'm like, no. But yeah.
You know what you need for Christmas?
Oh, shit, I'm playing them.
For Christmas, you need the mind-erasing device from Men in Black.
Oh, dude, it's bad. But all right, let me make you the case here, okay? The Bears' corners have been sneaky terrible. Like, Jalen Johnson's banged up. If he plays, dude has been playing like a rookie. Five touchdowns, 106 passer rating. If he's out, his replacement is terrible. We know Chark is the number one. Chicago can't pressure really well. I know that Jacksonville's offensive line is banged up. And Keelan Cole has had some big weeks, man. Buster Screen, if he plays in this game, has been terrible. Four touchdowns, 123 passer rating. His backup, again, like we're talking about, is not good, man. Chicago plays exclusive sides with their corners, so getting Chark and Cole on these guys is not difficult. Hell, it's really, really simple in this game. So, I don't want to be back in on them. They're going to preface that. I'm trying to talk myself out of it. But do I see a ceiling spot for them? Yes, I'm going to have exposure to them. And I know we've burnt a lot of money chasing Jacksonville wide receivers. I mean, crap. I'm going to have exposure to them. I know it. I'm not going to be able to talk myself out of playing one of these guys. Now, I'm not going to play both, but I'll have some varying exposure. probably only in game stacks or maybe as a one-off, because Cole, considering the ceiling that he could carry, is just is ridiculously priced. Like, he's super, super low this week. So I know I sound insane, Adam, but yeah, I'm back in.
Have fun. I'm out, man. Shark Tank, I'm out.
I don't disagree. I feel you. Absolutely understand, man. All right, moving on. Indy is heading to Pittsburgh. The Colts are favored by 1.5. The over-under is set at 44.5. This game overall is nasty. Like,
yeah, this game stinks.
There are a few plays out of this game, but overall, it's mostly an avoid. Tell me who you like here, if anybody.
How can you have any confidence playing anybody from Pittsburgh after what we just saw on Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football? Roethlisberger is still priced to where, like, you can't play him. You can't play Roethlisberger at 6,400. You just can't. Not against the Colts defense. Or, I mean, apparently not against the Bengals defense either. Juju's 6K. That's more than I'd be willing to pay for Juju in this spot. Deontay's been solid, but, like, I don't want to play anybody from this team right now. They're broken. Ebron's hurt. The running back, they can't run the football. James Conner is probably going to play, but I don't want to play him against one of the best. These are two of the best run defenses in the NFL, so I don't really want to play any of the running backs. Like, if I were to play one, it'd probably be Jonathan Taylor, just because he's actually good and he actually can find success running the ball in their offense. I don't know, like, you could make, if I were to play one person in this game, it would be either T.Y. Hilton or Michael Pittman. Because we know the Steelers can give up some explosive passing plays. T.Y. has been a much different player the last 4 weeks of the season. But, like, how do you feel good about playing anybody from this game, really? Especially on the Pittsburgh side. Like I would be stunned if a Pittsburgh player found their way into my lineup this weekend.
It's difficult, man. Out of Pittsburgh, Ben's been so bad, man. Like, I will not play Ben. Deontay Johnson's getting a ton of targets, but dear God, like, I don't think that he's going to find a lot of separation with Xavier Rhodes.
If these Steelers receivers don't score, they're getting, like, 40 yards. And yep. Maybe Deontay gets 55 or 60. Claypool snaps have been all over the place. James Washington's starting to play more. This offense is legitimately broken. They have nothing in the downfield. Like, they're so easy. I talked about this after the Buffalo game. They're legitimately easy to defend because they offer nothing down the field, and you can just sit on the short routes, and they can't run the ball.
So, yeah, like, you just jump the routes.
That's what the Bills did. That's what, like, all these teams, like, what Cincinnati did. Like, their offense might be fixed now because Juju said he's not dancing on logos anymore, so we might have to, you know, we might have to check that narrative out. But all jokes aside, like, they're just so easy to defend, and the Colts defense has been a top five unit all year. So, like, I don't get how you can play them with any confidence. But yeah, what do you think of, like, T.Y. and Pittman? Because the Steelers are allowing the highest average depth of target in the NFL at 9.5. T.Y. has been making big plays down the field lately, a handful of, like, 30 and 40 yard catches over the last couple weeks. He's averaging nearly 7 air yards per target. And we know Pittman, you know, at 4,200 has some upside. If he can get to, like, 6 targets, that's really it for me, though, from this game.
So I would be more inclined to play Hilton over Pittman.
I agree.
Just considering both these corners are good at matching up with guys that are more physical in their routes. The problems they have are with speed, so it would lean me towards T.Y. I mean, we've talked about it in recent weeks, man. Like, actually all season. Like, Steven Nelson can get burned on the outside. Joe Hayden's speed is not why Joe Hayden's successful. So can Hilton have a good game? Sure. I think for me, like, if I'm going with any Steelers wide receiver, which it's probably not anything outside of, like, a mini correlation, it'd be Claypool, because Rocky Sin on that side is a bigger corner. He's slower. Claypool could get behind him. I mean, Rocky Sin since week 8, 23 receptions on 31 targets, 105 passer rating. And Claypool's the only guy I really have interest in on the Steelers side. And for the Colts, dude, I think this is a sneaky spot for Jonathan Taylor. I really do. The Steelers' run defense has been banged up. Like, their linebacking group has been decimated by injuries. Like, Bud Dupree, Devin Bush being out. They've been more victimized by just bad tackling. And Taylor, the thing that's helped out the Steelers, before I get to Taylor real fast, is that they've been playing all these, like, dusty, not big play running backs. And
right, they faced Buffalo, who didn't run the ball until the game was over with Zach Moss. They faced Geo, who didn't have good yards per carry last week. And then they faced Antonio Gibson for one snap, and then it was McKissick and Peyton Barber. So you're definitely right.
Well, against all these dusty running backs, these guys that can't break long runs, they're still, since week 8, Adam, they're 25th in explosive run rate. Mm-hmm. So even like we're talking about, some of these running backs, the last team that we saw that like had explosive running backs with a healthy offensive line, you go all the way back to week 8, that was the Ravens. And they chewed them up. Like Gus Edwards chewed them up. J.K. Dobbins went over 100 yards. I think Jonathan Taylor, people, if they don't want to play him this week because of worries about Nyheim Hines, because of, you know, the Steelers' pressure rate and blah, 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 and their defense, I actually really love Jonathan Taylor in this spot. If he is going to come in, like, I think that he's not going to be popular, man. No. Do you think he will be?
No, and I think it's actually a really good call because Jonathan Taylor, over the last, I think, 4 games, is averaging over 21 touches per game. Jordan Wilkins didn't play an offensive snap last week, and Nyheim Hines had, like, 7 touches. So I think Taylor is actually really sneaky. It's a good call.
I think that he could crush in this spot, and I think that he's going to come in, like, 7, maybe lower.
I'll take the under on that, honestly.
Yeah, I do, too. I think he's going to probably come in closer to, like, 5. And I love Taylor in this spot, man. If the Colts are not going to worry about throwing the ball, they could just keep it on the ground. We could see Taylor get the most work that he's gotten in any game this year.
And if Philip Rivers gets pressured a lot, he's going to check it down to Jonathan Taylor.
I love Taylor, man. He is going to be one of my highest rostered running backs this week. One, because I think he's not going to be popular. And two, dude, we've been seeing, like, he has been a totally different runner over the last few weeks. You look at all different elusivity metrics, whether he's breaking tackles, yards after contact, breakaway run rates. He's up near the top in a lot of these metrics. I love Taylor in this spot. But any other thoughts when we move on?
No, we can move on.
All right, man. Giants are heading to play the Ravens. The over-under set at 45. Baltimore is favored by 11. Tell me your thoughts here. For me, it's probably going to be Baltimore side. Like, I have a hard time talking myself into anybody for the Giants. But what do you like out of this game, if anybody?
So, we had Mark Ingram as a healthy scratch last week, and then the week before he played one snap. Yeah, you'd still like to see a little bit more from J.K. Dobbins in terms of workload. He's been super efficient, but like in a game where it was over from the end of the first quarter, you know, 14 carries isn't great, but you know, Lamar, we know Lamar Jackson's going to take, you know, carry the ball 10 times himself, and Gus Edwards will get 8 to 10. I don't see myself paying $8,000 for Lamar Jackson on this slate when Mahomes is 8,500 against Atlanta, and there's cheaper quarterbacks that I prefer. Not to say Lamar's a bad play, but I just don't think they're going to need him to do anything too crazy in this game to where I want to pay $8,000 for him. Not playing Hollywood Brown against James Bradbury. Although again, he's been also better lately, but it was Dallas, Cleveland, and Jacksonville. It's 3 of the best matchups for receivers you can ask for. Andrews is okay. Like, the tight end's missing a couple guys on this slate because a lot of guys in the slate because you don't have, 3 of the tight or 3 games on Saturday, so you're missing, you know, potentially Kittle, Waller, a lot of guys. But like, at 5,700, he's fine. We know the linebackers for the Giants have been banged up and just not all that productive. Other than that, though, like, this is another game where I'm not too crazy about a lot of the options. Like, I don't like the Giants side with potentially Colt McCoy, maybe Daniel Jones starts, but it doesn't change much for me. Evan Ingram hasn't really been usable for much of the season, even though he's 3,900. I don't really want to play him. I'm not crazy. Like, I can make the case for Dobbins in tournaments if Ingram's not expected to play. It'd be active again because if he gets some lucky touchdown variants where he scores 2 touchdowns and Lamar doesn't get in or Edwards doesn't get in, then he's not egregiously priced at 6,200.
I like Dobbins in this spot. I'm probably not going to go to Lamar. I like Dobbins a lot, though. I mean, the Giants, since week 8, 31st in explosive run rate allowed. I think that we could see a ceiling game out of Dobbins. And for everybody that's been hoping for the game where he gets unleashed, I think that this could be it. I think that he could get a lot of run here. I mean, you look at the last few weeks, weeks 13 through 15, he's gotten 12 red zone carries versus Gus Edwards, 5. Lamar's gotten 5. He's also outrushed both of them, 32 for Lamar, 38 for Dobbins. I think that this backfield is slowly, slowly leaning in the direction of Dobbins. And, dude, if this is the week, I'd rather be a week early than a week late. Like, he could crush Giants, considering how many big plays. And Dobbins is up there. Like, I'm talking about breakaway run rate. Dobbins is top 10 in that. We know that the ceiling is there. I don't care about his pass game usage because that's not why you're playing him. You're playing him before at you're talking about at 6K. If he gets you 125 and 2, 150 and 2, he's paying off. He's probably not going to be popular. People have chased it enough to where they're probably not going to go back. Overall, this game feels gross, but dude, Baltimore's favored by 11. They're going to put up points. If that line is right, who's going to put up the points? If it ain't Lamar, it's going to be probably on the ground. I agree with you. I don't have a lot of interest in Hollywood in this spot, but I mean, tell me, am I wrong on Dobbins? Like, do you not see it? Like, could this be a ceiling week for him?
Yeah, especially because if you told me that, you know, going into last week that Mark Ingram would be a healthy scratch and Jacksonville would win by 30 points or whatever, I would tell you that, you know, Dobbins probably got 14 carries and Edwards probably got 15 or 16. But, you know, Dobbins got 14 and Edwards only had 9. So maybe this week it goes to like 17 and 6, you know? You know, Lamar's going to get his 8 to 12 carries. We know that. But if Dobbins can get up to 17 carries or so, then I think he could easily smash at 6,200. But he's really the only guy that I'm actively targeting from this game. I don't really want to play any of the Giants.
Yeah, same. I mean, the Ravens, I mean, even if you want to talk about their defense being a little bit banged up, dude, Colt McCoy and the receivers couldn't get it done versus a banged up and beatable Browns secondary.
Right.
They're not going to get it done versus Baltimore. It's just not going to happen, man. Okay, moving on. So the Atlanta Falcons are heading to play the Chiefs. Over-under set at 54. The Chiefs are favored by 10.5. Who do you like, Adam? I mean, I think Le'Veon Bell is going to get a ton
of...
Yeah,
I was going to ask. We got to talk about Le'Veon first. Like, how popular do we think he's going to be?
Tons. And right now?
He could be such a trap.
I'm fading him, dude. Like, I don't want any part of Le'Veon Bell this week. I think that he is a trap. I think that people look at Fournette, and if they're chasing points, I think that the field has gotten sharper. I don't think that's going to be the case. But, dear God, like, every single week we see, like, all these guys. Yes, Tony Pollard got there last week. Fournette sucked out and somehow got there. But I'm not playing. Like, the Falcons are not a spot that you want to sit here and play running backs against. Like, outside of these goal line carries, Fournette was freaking terrible. Bell is going to sit here and have work divided between him and Darrell Williams. Like, he's not just going to be the only guy in the backfield. So I don't really have a lot of interest in a popular Le'Veon Bell in what I consider to be a bad matchup because, dude, Atlanta's been good. They have. Second fewest rushing yards allowed in the NFL. Sixth in adjusted line yards. Fifth in open field yards allowed. They've been good against running backs. I'm not playing Le'Veon Bell, especially for a team. Kansas City has shown you when they play a defense that's good at stopping the run, what the hell do? They just pass more. Like, so no, I'm not going to play Le'Veon Bell this week. I'm just not, man. Am I wrong? Are you going to have any exposure to Le'Veon Bell?
As of now, I don't think so. We have one sample of Le'Veon playing without Clyde. Remember that Denver game? Clyde was listed as active with the illness, but didn't play one snap. He didn't play. In that game, Le'Veon Bell had 13 touches, and he played 52% of the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's... We know, like... Look, they haven't been throwing to Clyde this year. And that was the big, big, you know, plus for him coming out of college, was he was an incredible pass catching back. But, like, I understand they have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, but, like, they weren't even really throwing to Clyde. So what makes me think they're going to throw to Le'Veon Bell, especially if Darrell Williams plays on more third downs, and he's definitely going to play in the two-minute drill because he's done that all year. So I don't know, man. Like, especially with the fact that they've been, the Falcons, such a good defense against the run. Like, you're hoping Le'Veon gets in the end zone a couple times, which he could, because we know the Chiefs are going to move the ball in this game. But I think this could be, even if they get up in this game, a 40 pass attempt game for Patrick Mahomes. So I definitely have some concerns about Le'Veon Bell. And if throughout the week, if we get any word that he's going to be like 15 to 20% rostered, I'm going to be just completely off that, because I don't see him. Like, Le'Veon Bell is not getting 20 touches in this game. You know why he's not? Because Clyde rarely got 20 touches in a game. So yes, why the hell would Le'Veon?
No, he's not, man. And I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to chase dusty freaking running backs versus the Falcons. Like, that narrative is bad and it's wrong. And anybody that's chasing it, man, like, go back and look. Watch. Like, Fournette did not get there. He sucked out because of lucky freaking touchdowns. That's it, dude. If he doesn't get the touchdowns, you are cooked on a chalky freaking player. Bell's the same damn way. If he gets there, fine. If it burns me, it burns me. I'm not chasing a chalky Le'Veon Bell.
26% of the yards allowed by the Falcons have come via the run. That's his third lowest rate in the NFL. Like, what they give up is through the air.
You can absolutely pass on them. Why is Kansas City not just going to throw?
I don't think they trust their quarterback. That's the only concern I have.
Oh, my gosh, man. Can we just say, like, there's not a lot of analysis. If you can make it work.
I will say real quick, Tyreek Hill didn't practice with a hamstring on Wednesday. It could be precautionary, but if he obviously is out, you can go to Watkins at 5K. But yeah, like, if you find the value, just play the dudes. I mean, Kelce is about to break the record for tight end receiving yards in a season. He's maybe the safest player in fantasy alongside Davante Adams. Like, it's dumb.
So, moving over to the Atlanta side, I think if everybody's stacking this game up, obviously, and you were so right on Calvin Ridley last week. I'll own the L as a Calvin Ridley truther. I love him, and I was so wrong. He crushed last week. So, I got to give you props for that. Calvin Ridley was fantastic. He could run it back this week. The outside corners for Kansas City have been good, but dude, since Breland's return, he's also given up 5 receiving touchdowns on 42 targets. So Ridley is going to move around the formation, as well as Tre'Varius Ward can be beat as well. We know the targets are going to go to Ridley. I'm guessing Julio is still going to be out for this week.
By the way, guess who didn't poop their pants last week?
Oh, my God. We got to talk about that. I was off of Matt Ryan. He had a fantastic game. I'll own it, man. I'll own it. I've slung enough shit at Matt Ryan that I've got to sit here. When you take the W's, you got to take the L's as well. I was not on Matt Ryan. tell me your thoughts. Would you play him in this spot? Because I'm still kind of like,
eh. Yeah, I'm just teasing you, because I obviously wasn't on him last week either. But I don't know. Like, the problem with this game is it's so expensive to stack up. Like, if you really? Like. Playing Mahomes and Tyreek or Kelce and running it back with Ridley, like, good luck. I don't even know if we're going to have enough value for you to be able to do that.
I think that you run it back if you stack the Kansas City side with Ito Smith being the possible lead back. He's the guy that I want to run it back with. He's at 4K. Kansas City is 31st in DVOA versus pass-catching running backs. And they've allowed the most receiving yards to running backs.
Okay.
He's the guy I think opens up the value for you. Would you play Ito, or are you just like, look, it's Ridley or nobody?
I mean,
we know Kansas City gives up production to running backs, dude.
They're saying he's the lead back, but like, does that mean he gets 12 carries and Brian Hill gets 6? You know, like, I don't know if that means Ito's getting like lead back type workload. That's the only problem.
But 4K. I'm not saying to play him as a one-off in
right.
a game.
Yeah.
4K to make it work. Can you play Ito Smith, or are you just like, nah? I'll go to Russell Gage. I'll go to somebody else, or I just won't run it back. Is Ito Smith even on the radar as possibly being in play for you, or am
not
I just getting
really?
With it?
Contrary to popular belief, I have been wrong before. So we'll see.
Here's the thing. Kansas City is favored by 10.5. We know Atlanta is going to be trailing. And my whole thing is Ty Gurley is dust. Raheem Morris is willing to sit there and play whoever is playing well and do whatever he wants to do with this team. So, I don't know, man. Like, if I'm going – like I said, is Ito Smith in play outside of game stacks? Probably not. No. If I'm stacking this game and I'm trying to find a way on God's green earth to sit here and get in Mahomes if Tyreek plays. Mahomes, Tyreek, and Kelsey, you know, or just fit other guys around Mahomes and one of those receivers. I think Ito's in play here, man. On a week we're trying to jam in some Chiefs, if you're playing hashtag team jam it in, then I think Ito's in play for me, especially in a game where Ryan's going to be under duress. Kansas City can pressure. They're going to be trailing. If Ito is the passing down back, hell, if he gets 12 to possibly 15 carries at 4K, I think he can get there in a high total game and where they're going to have to throw the ball.
I hear you, man.
I hear you, but I ain't going there. I'm not doing it.
I don't want to play Falcons running back, but
I get it. I get it. I do. Well, tell me this. Obviously, Ridley's a stud. We've talked about that. He's in play here. Is Russell Gage in play for you, considering as well that with Julio out, we saw him play more outside, and I don't have a good read on that's not a place where I think that Russell Gage in this matchup can win.
It gives him more upside, but he won outside last week in a less than ideal matchup, I would say. 5,100 is probably, assuming Julio was out, I would say 5,100 is slightly too cheap for Russell Gage. But he's probably another guy that it's like, if I'm stacking this game up, sure. Otherwise, probably will go elsewhere.
All right, moving on. Cleveland is heading to take on the hapless Jets. The over-under is at 47.5.
Hey, they won.
Dude, I'm not even going to talk about that.
Elliot was so tilted. It was great. It was so good.
Oh, my God. Dude, that's... Only Adam Gase can totally screw your franchise from now and into eternity. It's insane, the insane shit that the Jets do on a weekly basis. But yeah, dude, the Browns are favored by 9.5. I am not playing a Jet. I will not play a Jet. I'm still there. I'm not. They're going to score 3 points, 7 points, somewhere close to zero. I'm not playing a damn Jet. Just not going to do it. And for Cleveland, come on, man. Everybody can throw versus them. Apparently everybody but the damn Rams. Do you think this is a spot where Baker Mayfield can just shred them? Considering what he's been doing, the passing volume's been up. Over the last three games, he leads the NFL in passing yards and passing touchdowns. Is this a spot where you go to Baker, or are you just I don't know?
Yeah, I'm cool with Baker. He's played really well. Jets allowing the fourth highest touchdown percentage, passing touchdown percentage in the NFL at 5.8%. I'm pretty sure they just shut down Quinnen Williams, so they won a game, and they're like, all right, Quinnen, thanks, man. So their pass rush probably takes a more of a step back in this game. And, look, their offense has kind of been humming without Odell Beckham. I know it's more so probably the fact that, Baker's got Stefanski's system under his belt now, but, these receivers other than Landry have stepped up. Higgins has stepped up. Donovan Peoples-Jones might actually be a value play in this game if you want to go there. Kadarius Hodge returned last week, but Donovan Peoples-Jones has kind of passed him as a wide receiver three on this offense. And they obviously have the tight ends that they can use, and the running backs are as good as it gets in the NFL. So, yeah, I'm perfectly fine with Baker. Landry's the safe guy to pair him with. He's been fantastic as of late. He scored in each of his last three of his last four games, 8 or more targets in 4 straight games, and double digit targets in 3 of, I think, 7 games since, or 4, or 3 of 6 games since Odell Beckham was shut down. You pretty much know what you're getting from Jarvis Landry, and I think 6,900 in this spot is slightly too cheap for Landry, given what he's done and what Baker's done. I know you like Rashard Higgins, so I'll let you talk about him.
Dude, I love Higgins in this spot. I think that he could shred. With no Odell, he leads the team in air yards. He leads the team in deep targets. I think that he can crush. We've seen 20-point games from him. Now going against a Jets team that's 27, the DVOA versus deep passing. Love Higgins. Love Baker. Landry. If you want to go to Hooper, I think you can actually do that too, man. Last week, we saw him run 71% of routes on dropbacks. That's his highest margin. And I talked about this on the Waiver Wire podcast. He's been in the 50 to 60% range. Yes, Bryant and Njoku are still running routes, but Hooper's route percentage is creeping up, and now he gets a Jets team that, I mean, look, they're 26 versus the tight end, first in receiving yards allowed, first in receiving touchdowns allowed to the tight end position. I think that there's a lot of different ways you could stack up the Cleveland side, as well as you're talking about Quinnen Williams is out. He's a top 10 run defender, interior run defender in the NFL. That is great things for Nick Chubb, especially if people just saw, and people want to talk about Cam Akers busting versus this damn team. First of all, he got hurt in the game. He came back and played on a bum ankle that now is going to sideline him for the next week or two. He got 40 yards called back because of freaking flags.
And a touchdown.
He'd have been over 100 rushing yards considering all of that. Now that they just lost their best interior run defender, Nick Chubb is in play. Like, he can crush this defense. So I'm not playing Chubb in teams where I have Baker, but I think that you can go in multiple scenarios here. I think Nick Chubb is in play. I don't think that he's going to be popular again because people just played Cam Akers. He was very popular last week, and he busted. But if you go dive deep into what actually happened in that game, he wasn't really a bust considering what some of the things that transpired there. So I think Chubb could be a really fantastic play, especially if he's not popular and Baker and these pass catchers get the steam, because there's also a scenario here, Adam, where Cleveland could say, okay, well, yes, we could pass all freaking day, but if Chubb gets the first two touchdowns in this game, do they just say, screw it, we're just going to lean on the run, and we don't have to, like, throw the ball in this game, because guess what? You don't have the ability to sit here and challenge us. Your offense sucks. So they could just run the entire damn game.
Yeah, and real quick with Higgins, lining up as the left receiver or right receiver 41% of the time, the Jets allowing the 6 most yards per game to receivers in that side of the formation at around 60 per game. Is Donovan Peoples-Jones too cute?
Yes.
Okay. He's looked really good, though. I just wanted to mention him. He's been, like, he's another reason why this offense has been kind of humming without Odell. He's been a nice spark for them. And yeah, like, Nick Chubb is kind of always in play for me, especially in a game where there's such heavy favorites. He should get 20 to 23 carries, and with how efficient he is and how many times he rips off a 20-yard run. I mean, he's ripped off a 20-yard run in every game this season except for one. So he doesn't need 28. He doesn't need Derrick Henry-type workload to be really good, and the matchup is better without Quinnen Williams, like you said. So yeah, and then Cleveland defense, if you want to pay up, I mean, I probably won't get it to them, but they have as high of a floor as you can get, but I probably won't pay up for them. And, yeah, I won't be playing any Jets.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I'm not going to play Cleveland's defense. They're not a good defense. They don't pressure well. The cornerbacks are not great, even if Denzel Ward somehow gets back this week. On the Peoples-Jones call, the reason I don't want to play him right now, he's at 3,700. There are other cheap options that are down there in that range for wide receiver. Mm-hmm. It really comes down to, I just don't, like, yes, he gets the deep targets, but my whole thing is that, like, he's seen 3 targets, 5 targets, 3 targets. Like, it seems only because of target volume and his probable snaps with Hodge being somewhat involved, that's where it makes it thinner for me. Like, do I understand his role as the deep threat in this offense? Yes. But considering snaps, routes, and just his target volume, that's where it thins out for me. All right, man, moving on to the last game for this early slate. Cincinnati is going to head to Houston. The over-under set at 46. Texans are favored by 8.5. Texans are actually favored in a game. What are your thoughts here, Adam?
Can I vent?
Go ahead. Floor's yours.
Who's the one, I don't want to say the one, but who's one of the 5 players I hyped up this offseason so much?
Brandon Senior Cooks.
Not okay. You're absolutely right, but his quarterback too, right? I forgot about Cooks.
Sorry, my bad.
So Deshaun Watson has run so bad the last 3 weeks. Week 13 against the Colts, yep. End of that game, a horrible snap when they're at the 5-yard line to send that game to potentially win that game. The ball snapped terribly. Watson can't corral it. They lose the game. Misses out on touchdown. Week 14 against Chicago. Watson, you know, he was already having a below average game, but it would have been better. They're inside the 5 yard line. It's fourth down, or it's third down. He scrambles out of the pocket, throws it away, and he gets hit low in a area that no one likes to get hit. Left the game for that play, and A.J. McCarron comes in and throws the ball and gets sacked on fourth down. Missed out an opportunity to score there. Last week against the Colts, driving down the field, he's torching this defense again. 27 fantasy points, 373 yards, and 2 touchdowns. They get inside the red zone. He throws a pass on fourth down to Kiki Cutie to convert. Cutie tries to, you know, to plunge his way into the end zone, fumbles the ball. They lose the game. Are you kidding me with this right now? It's 3 games in a row where this dude should have had another touchdown under his belt, and it didn't freaking happen. I'm going back to Deshaun Watson for the 3rd or 4th straight week. I don't care. 7,600 is too cheap, or not too cheap. It's perfectly priced for him. Last week he was too cheap. He's, again, 25 yards or more in every game since week 5, except for one, and he rushed for 24 in that game. It's absurd. It's so absurd how bad he's run, and he still had some pretty good fantasy games. Cincinnati's defense has been much improved this year, but I don't care what they did last week because the Texans offense actually can move the ball in the air and actually make plays down the field. I'm going right back to Deshaun Watson here. I love the guy. He's just run so bad the last couple weeks. It's so stupid.
I don't disagree with you, and here's the thing about it. If David Johnson is going to be popular, I'm more in on the Houston passing attack, man. Like, I'm there with you. Brandon Cooks is firmly in play, as well as Watson. I mean, Cooks got 7 targets. The last game that he played before that, he got 8 targets. We know the speed that he possesses. And I know we've been talking about in previous weeks William Jackson shadowing. I mean, dude, I think that David Johnson could get some steam. And a popular David Johnson, even in this matchup, is not something that I want to explore. I'm not going to go there.
I think I like him a little more than you, but I do agree. I prefer the Watson passing side here. If Duke Johnson's out of interest, Duke didn't practice Wednesday with the neck. We saw David Johnson run 37 pass routes last game, second most to J.D. McKissick on the week. And he, you know, am I expecting him to catch 11 passes for over 100 yards again? No, but at 6,100, he should get 20 touches. It's a little weird because we've been all year like, yeah, David Johnson's 5,300, and I still don't want to play him. But that's different with Duke Johnson potentially out and the fact that they just don't have anybody to catch the ball, really. So I like him a little bit more than you, but again, that's only if Duke Johnson ends up ruled out.
Yeah, but he was 5,100 last week, and we didn't freaking play him. He ran the ball 8 times and got 27 damn yards. Like,
yeah, but I also didn't expect...
he got there at 11 targets!
When we were talking about him on the podcast, Duke Johnson wasn't injured. You know? And, like, am I expecting 11 catches again? Absolutely not. But I like that the amount of routes he ran. And maybe that's more so because ProSize is out too. So they didn't have anybody to play on third downs. But I'll have to wait and see on this week. But yeah, like, I don't expect him to run for, you know, 120 yards.
I love Watson in the passing in this
one. Deshaun Watson needs Brian Daboll. Like, Brian Daboll needs to win a Super Bowl with Buffalo and then go to Houston and have fun with Deshaun Watson.
Oh, God, and especially considering they've been linked to Marvin Lewis. Please, dear God, no. Please don't.
Imagine saying, no. All right, man, we've had injuries. We're like I don't even know how many wins they have, 5 wins or whatever. We need Marvin Lewis to get us to that number 8 mark for wins.
Yes!
We need those 8 wins. Like, Marvin Lewis is a great dude, but, like, we have such a huge track record of him being an 8-win, 10-win coach when everything works out, and it's like, we know who Marvin Lewis is, like... Why not go elsewhere? Why not go to Brian Daboll or Robert Saleh or Eric Bieniemy and see what you have? Like, we know what Marvin Lewis is.
Exactly, man. The retread coaching hive is strong. That's all I could say, man. But on Cooks a little bit more here. Jackson played an exclusive side last game with Darius Phillips back. Now, Darius Phillips, it seems like he's a little bit banged up. DNP on Wednesday. I don't know if Phillips plays. If Phillips plays, I think that helps Cooks. Because if Jackson's not going to shadow, if they trust Phillips to handle Cooks on that side, when Cooks is on that side, then I like the matchup for Cooks. I think it's a good thing if he stays off of William Jackson in this spot, because then he would get approximately 73% of his routes either in the slot or the other side of the field. So Darius Phillips is something to monitor going into the weekend. If he plays, I'm much more in the passing attack, more into Cooks, because William Jackson has been fantastic in shadow coverage this year.
He's been awesome.
As well as, dude, I mean, here's the thing. You could even make the case, though, too, that even if Phillips is out, yes, I'm more worried about William Jackson, but that also brings LaShawn Sims and his terrible coverage onto the field, which if Cooks gets lined up against him, even 2 to 3 targets, he could burn him into the ground. Like, Sims, last few weeks, like since week 8, 22 targets at him, 20 receptions, 3 touchdowns. It's basically throw the ball against this guy and receivers get catches. That's just what happens. Do you have any interest on anybody for Cincinnati? Because I actually do.
Yeah, we got to talk about them. Tyler Boyd's in the concussion protocol. He's not practicing. So T. Higgins just produces, man. Like, doesn't matter what the circumstances are. He's just a good football player. Do you want to play Ryan Finley at 4,800?
Nope.
Their playbook was so just condensed in that game against Pittsburgh. But yeah, like, I don't know what to do with Gio. Like, a week after he gets benched for losing like his first fumble and an X amount of touches, he comes out and gets 25 carries against Pittsburgh. Didn't run well because it's Pittsburgh and it's Cincinnati, but he got 26 touches and scored twice. He's 4,800. Now he gets, you know, the best matchup, one of the best matchups you can find for opposing running backs. Like, what do we do with Gio? And what do we do with the pass catchers if Tyler Boyd gets ruled out?
So Erickson would take over the slot role if Boyd is out. I don't have any interest in Erickson. The one player that I do, and I actually do have a little bit of interest in Gio, because the 25 rushes last week, yes, I understand the stat line wasn't sexy, but the Texans are literally the worst run defense, if not bottom 3 in the NFL. Gio is going to get 20 touches in this game. He's in play. He's sub 5K. He's ridiculously low price considering the workload that he could get.
Let me ask you this. Is this solely because of Houston? Like, if he's playing like a league average run defense, if he's playing like...
It's Houston. It's all Houston.
Okay.
That's because I didn't play Gio versus Dallas.
Right.
So I'm more into considering... But the reason I didn't play Gio versus Dallas is because we saw Cincinnati go away from him. They got more Piran involved. They got Travion Williams involved. Giving him 25 carries last week versus these other running backs was very telling.
And I think, if I remember correctly, there was other plays down around his price range. Like, running back was really soft in that week. There was a handful of 5K running backs that were viable, too. Yep. And, like, yeah, like, if I, like, that's another reason why Le'Veon Bell probably won't be in my lineups, because I'll just save 1,000 and go to Gio, who's going to get more touches and more snaps and probably more catches, and it's a better matchup.
And I don't know if he's going to be popular or not. Like, I don't think that people are going to rush to play Gio, even considering the price tag. So I do have interest in Gio. If I'm going a wide receiver for Cincinnati, it's T. Higgins or it's nobody. And the reason it's T. Higgins is because with Ryan Finley under center, Adam, his target share has been ridiculous. And I understand, yes, Ryan Finley did not throw the ball a ton last week. That was also a weird game script. We could also say that probably the Texans are not going to find themselves losing in this game. Deshaun Watson is not freaking Ben Roethlisberger. He can actually throw the damn ball, and they have a good offense. So, it's T. Higgins, man. With Ryan Finley under center, T. Higgins has a 34.3% target share. That's insane. And I understand we're talking about limited volume for Ryan Finley. If he throws the ball freaking 20 to 25 times in this game, 7 to 8 targets for T. Higgins. Here's the thing, Adam. Does Houston have a corner that can possibly cover T. Higgins? Anybody left on that roster? My answer is no. Do you think they do?
No.
T. Higgins, where do you think he's going to come at this week? Is he going to be popular? No.
No.
Where would you send his roster percentage at if you're just guessing right now?
5 to 7%.
I'm going to say sub 5. He's going to be sub 5. Like, so considering all of that, is T. Higgins a core play? No. But in GPPs, is he in play, especially if you're going game stacks and you are stacking this game up, you're going the Houston passing attack? can you talk me into T. Higgins, considering, like I'm talking about, 30% target share, the fact that he's 4,700, and he's got the talent. Houston has no corners. And dude, I think that he's in play, man. Like, he's got, in the last few weeks, 6 targets, 8 targets, 8 targets, 5 targets versus the Giants, but he scored a touchdown. If he gets you 15 points, if he gets you 20 points in the spot in a game stack, I'm in for it, man. I think the T. Higgins could have a fantastic game. All right, Adam, before we get up out of this game, I know we've talked about this man numerous times in the last few weeks, and this man has burned me. He has hurt me, Adam. He's hurt me. Dropping touchdowns, I understand the sun was in his eyes. But versus the Bengals, who have allowed the 3rd most receiving yards, 6th most DK points per game, Adam, tell me, for all the marbles, do we go back to Jordan Akins in this spot?
You can. Would you rather play Akins or Kmet?
Oh, Kmet. Kmet for me.
That's where I am, too, so.
It hurts, but I just don't know if it, oh my gosh, it's been painful to play Jordan Akins. Like, and I've played him. I've played him on Showdown. I've played him on other spots. I've played him on holiday slates. Like, I just don't know if I could do it again, Adam. Like, I don't know if I can, man. Like, I don't know if you're talking about me and the Jacksonville wide receivers. I don't know if I got it in me to play Jordan Akins again. I'm almost like Akins versus Chad Hansen. Go.
Akins.
Really?
I don't.
Tell me why.
Because
I'm not disagreeing.
Because there's other receivers that I'd rather play over Chad Hansen where he's at than there are tight ends that I'd rather play over Akins. You know, like it's really Cole Kmet or Akins at that price range at tight end for me.
Even though Chad Hansen, 18, 12, 13 points, 56 or more yards in each of his 3 games, 7 targets in 2 of those 3, still Akins over Chad Hansen? You got to be my devil's advocate because I'm trying to talk myself out.
I mean,
again.
He had a touchdown last week. It was absolutely busted coverage. He was wide open. He walked into the end zone. Other than that, he had 3 targets. Like, I know he had 7 the 2 weeks before, but like, I can find out. Like, I'll just play T. Higgins for 300 more, you know?
Okay. I'm trying to talk myself out of playing Jordan Akins,
yeah,
man.
You like, are.
I just don't know if I'm ready for the pain and the punishment. I think I've already exacted enough on myself by talking myself back into Jacksonville wide receivers that I don't know if I could do the Jordan Akins again. I don't know if I could do that dance again. That dance hurts. It's like dancing with shoes that don't fit. It's like dancing on hot coals and nobody wants to throw you a cup of water. It's painful, Adam.
I hear you, man, but you like pain because you're playing Jacksonville receivers, so if you're playing Jacksonville receivers, I think you have no problem playing Jordan Akins.
Okay, mini correlation. Jacksonville wide receivers and a bear, and I'm going back to Akins. All right, bring the pain. All right, everyone, that is the early slate for Week 16. Head over to FTNDaily.com, get signed up, use the promo code FTC, save 10% at your sign-up. Head over there, tune into the premium podcast. We're going to discuss all the rest of the games, the late games, Sunday night, Monday night. Adam and I are heading over there. Get signed up today. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.